We are back on the Local Beat Election Edition here on WEOL. Rocco Nucci here with you, along with Dave O'Brien for this week's Local Beat. Again, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers on East Broad Street in Elyria, a trusted name in jewelry. Dave, how are we doing today, good sir?
Oh, we're good. We're busy, but we're good.
Good day. Fantastic news. And as we always do with our quote-unquote election show here on the Local Beat, we are talking before any results have come in or anything like that. So, again, we are unaware of final results. I know our listeners kind of already will have an idea when this airs of what final results are looking like. But, Dave, let's start right there. With Election Day happening Tuesday, polls are all set to go. Tell me about some of what these early voting numbers were looking like, what some of the bigger issues are. I know Kevin Martin did a good job kind of highlighting some important things in Tuesday's Chronicle Telegram.
Yeah, polls obviously as per usual open from 6:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. Tuesday. Early voting numbers a little sluggish. Probably going to see a low turnout. Maybe in the low teens, probably more like around 10-11%. According to Elections Director Paul Adams and Deputy Director Jim Kramer, they said we're looking at kind of 10-11% was their estimate. 216,000, almost two, just over 216,000, I should say, registered voters in Lorain County. About 6,400 of those voted early, highest numbers being in Lorain, Elyria, and North Ridgeville. North Ridgeville obviously having a large issue, a bond issue for their schools. Lorain with its hotly contested mayoral race and some city council races as well. Elyria also with a mayor's race, some city council races. So probably a lower turnout expected. Other contested races also in Sheffield Lake, Avon Lake Municipal Court judge for that area covered by the Avon Lake Municipal Court. Some voter ID changes. Adams told Kevin Martin that there were a few issues. Couple folks had to get another form of identification to vote and come back. No early voting on Monday as of the Ohio legislature voting to reduce those hours and send them to the previous week for early voting. So no early voting on Monday. No voting at the Board of Elections today on Tuesday. You had to go to your precinct and to your polling place to vote. So primaries tend to be kind of a lower turnout, mm-hmm. Generally speaking, in an off election year for federal elections. There are no Congress people, no presidential election, obviously, this year. So that tends to result in a lower turnout.
Dave, you're a more experienced election coverer, if that's a word, than I am. And just kind of reading through Kevin's article here, man, a lot of independents up for these mayoral races. I know here in Elyria, our Mayor Frank Whitfield, I know he's an independent. But just in your history covering these elections, Dave, have you seen this many independents before? Or is that not as uncommon as maybe I'm thinking it is?
It doesn't tend to be multiple independents. I've not seen, at least in my experience, multiple independents running for the same post. Interestingly enough, incumbent Elyria Mayor Frank Whitfield, an independent, obviously. He's also going to be looking at a challenge there from former Elyria Mayor Bill Grace, who ran as Democratic mayor back in the late 1990s, early 2000s up through 2011. So that's kind of interesting. Those independent candidates will face Kevin Brubaker, a Democrat, and Republican Al Scobile in the general election. Also, independent Andrew Lippian seeking a second term for the first ward council seat in Elyria, challenged by Democrat Matthew Van Wormer. And then there's an independent also, Evan Petrisco in the third ward, facing Maurice Corbin, who's a Republican, and Democrat Mary Sawerga. And then fourth ward, Patrick Spears against incumbent Democrat Kenny Oswald and Republican Jeff Baxter. Fifth ward, independent Brett Armstrong. Four Democrats in there, Brenda Warren, Kim Black Brown, Kandra Shores, and Leanna Roya. And so then numerous others, especially in Elyria, it's kind of a large turnout for independent candidates in Elyria. And I won't go through most of the rest of them. That's just kind of a sampling. But there's many in multiple different wards. Also up in Lorain as well for city council. So you're going to see some independents up there. Josh Garcia, Aaron Graham, Brandon Wysocki for Lorain City Council in different races there. So yeah, it's a crowded field of independents. That's kind of interesting. Not something that I have experienced in my almost 20 years of covering elections.
Yeah, and again, I was just kind of curious on that front. I know growing up throughout, you know, grade and elementary school, it's always Democrat, Republican. They don't really talk a whole lot about the independents. And I thought incumbent Elyria Mayor Frank Whitfield had a decent quote about being an independent, how hard you kind of have to work not being affiliated with those two parties. So, again, we'll kind of see how those results turn out here this morning as we continue on the local beat. Dave, let's head over to the city of Avon, where if anybody's ever sat in traffic near the intersection of Detroit and Jaycox Roads, you'll be thrilled to read Owen McMillan's article in Tuesday's Chronicle Telegram. Dave, what's happening here?
Yeah, city looking for a federal grant of about $4.5 million to improve that intersection, heavily trafficked area, and that's money from what's called the Congestion Mitigation and Air Quality Project. Avon's going to apply for that funding through the Northeast Ohio Area-Wide Coordinating Agency, or NOACA, as the acronym goes. And that's $4.5 million again in federal funds, leaving Avon with about $3 million to be paid for a total cost of just about $7.6 million to alleviate congestion at the intersection, and make it safer. Mayor Brian Jensen told Owen McMillan for his story that that intersection has been an area the city had hoped to improve for years, couldn't get funding from the Ohio Department of Transportation, but as Mayor Jensen said in the story, for the last decade or so, it's been something that's been looked into pretty much as long as I have been mayor. So unquote from Mayor Brian Jensen. And City Engineer Ryan Cummins said that the intersection has some features that make it expensive to fix, difficult to fix. That steep slope of Jaycox coming from the north, a challenging intersection with that sort of heavy grade, some other histories of accidents and too high highly trafficked roads connecting with each other. So we'll see how that goes for the city. A lot of money has been spent recently, a lot of infrastructure money coming down from the federal government, even through the ARPA plan, through some COVID funds, some pandemic funds, the CARES Act, if you will, that federal funding that has trickled down to cities through the state and through the county. So we'll see some corrections of some of those roadways. The unpopular traffic circles that folks are seeing in some communities, cost a lot of money and but an efficient way of sort of slowing down traffic and stopping accidents. Some of the most dangerous intersections are four-way stops. People who just don't know it's a four-way stop and they blow through and unfortunately a lot of times hit somebody else or just cause sort of a disruption in the traffic. So that's not apparently this project right here, but there's been a lot of interest in the recent years of putting in more traffic circles and sort of traffic calming equipment projects like that. It's happened out in Henrietta and Brown Helm townships and down sort of in central Lorain County with Grafton townships.
Well, I know, Dave, you reside in the Summit County parts of Northeast Ohio, so I'm sure you're familiar with that Talmadge Circle that I have driven around more than once in my lifetime. And I know for our listeners that's a bit south for here, but it's like Dave said, it's a great way to kind of slow down traffic. Those four-way stops can certainly be a bit dangerous. And to quote City Engineer Ryan Cummins here, he was talking the timeline for when this thing could get underway as far as the start of the project goes, late 2027 or early 2028, so still a little ways away here. Before we see any ground being broken and stuff like that. As again, we're joined by Dave O'Brien on the local beat, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers on East Broad Street in Elyria, a trusted name in jewelry. Dave, what are you and your colleagues over there at the Chronicle working on this week? Obviously, election coverage big this morning, but what else is coming up this week?
Yeah, definitely, definitely heavy, heavy election section in you know in Wednesday's paper, and please, you know, please do read read all that. We do put an awful lot of effort into it, and just trying to keep the public informed about what's going on at the polls. You know, important to go out and vote, no matter who you vote for. You know, that's really one way that that the people exercise power. You know, over their elected officials and over the people that they want to represent them in government. Also how they decide how their money is spent. And that's another big part of what we do around here is tell you how your money is being spent. I know that Owen will, speaking of having money being spent, Owen's working on a story about Lorraine Metro Parks acquiring property in Avon. Some other development in Avon, again, coming from Owen. And, yeah, some aftermath stories as well throughout the rest of the week about, you know, who voted where and who was the strongest and what candidates did the best and what cities and wards, you know, they were running in. So real election-heavy issues coming up this week. And some other good news and some court news for myself and you know, everything else you can read at ChronicleT.com or in the Chronicle Telegram news, you know, print edition.
You heard the man. Pick up a copy, a print edition, physical copy of that Chronicle Telegram today, or if you're a subscriber, find that digital e-edition online anytime at ChronicleT.com, also on that Chronicle Telegram app. Very nice to have on the smartphone right there at your fingertips. All right, Dave, that brings us to the end here. As we know, one of my favorite times of the week. What is this week's scanner story?
Well, we're going to go to the city of Cleveland, again, courtesy of our friends over at Northeast Ohio Scanner on Twitter. And we're going to hear about an assault on Green Road, a woman bleeding from her scalp. Ooh. Somehow the assault is being blamed on dark arts or voodoo.
Uh-oh. Is this some Blair Witch Project stuff happening here? Man, I do not do well with that. Clearly, that woman did not do very well with that either, if she's bleeding from the scalp. But, oh, yeah, no, I'm out on that one. Sometimes it's like, maybe we should investigate this. No, I'm out on that one, Dave. I don't know how you feel about that kind of stuff, but I'm out, personally. I don't know.
I don't go in for the dark arts. And for one real quick story about my history of dealing with such things is I had a person who was an inmate in a jail in another county who once assaulted a corrections officer because the jail cell they were trying to put her in was bad luck, and her attorney in court blamed bad voodoo or something, he said. And that didn't go over real well, and let's just say that attorney who may have just been speaking off the cuff didn't talk to me very often for the next couple of years.
Yeah, that's a messy subject to dive into, no question, but perhaps another time. But oh man, yeah, that hope she's okay, right? I mean, at the end of the day with these scanner stories, certainly hope she's okay, but man, yeah, dark arts voodoo, that's whew, be careful with that stuff, folks. So, entertaining scanner story as always, my friend. Again, for the latest from Dave and the election coverage from all of his colleagues over there at the CT, pick up a copy of that Chronicle Telegram today. Find that digital e-edition online at ChronicleT.com. Dave, thank you for the time as always, my friend. Have a great rest of the week, and we'll catch up some more next Wednesday.
That's great, Rocco. We'll talk to you then.